your experience in breeding exotic wild animals is really what is what brings us up as a group. But I'm afraid I'm really dragging us down. I mean, I don't even know where a bearcat came from.
It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast, episode 245. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, Matt and I preview the Arizona game, provide final thoughts on the season before it begins. We play over-under. We also walk through the depth chart. It's a week of football, people, and we get you pumped to play the Wildcats. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. Check us out on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout, on Facebook at Facebook.com/RiseandShout, and listen to us right now. CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. Matt, no guests today. It's just you and me.
Could I ask for anything more?
There is no bacon.
Oh.
Unless you have some.
That is unfortunate. You know, I was at a restaurant. I was traveling for work. Oh, there it is. Okay. All right. You get that out of your system. You're done now?
I'm sorry. What? Were you saying something?
So anyway, we go into this restaurant, and it's because the restaurant we wanted to eat at was closed. And so we go into this other restaurant, and it is like it's like a hipster, I don't know, convention in there, right? The wait staff is all decked out, and they all look very similar, and you know, it's all like
man
it's
buns all like and fake, long beards,
yeah, and fake repurposed wood everywhere. The centerpieces were these light bulbs. They were light bulbs turned upside down that were turned into flower vases, but they had never actually been light bulbs, as given away by their flat base. So anyway, the food was excellent, by the way. And
well, just because they're hipsters doesn't mean they don't know how to cook.
Oh, they know how to cook. They're doing it right. So, but none of us had been there before. Even the again, I was traveling. Even the locals, they had not eaten there previously. And so whereas we're ordering our food, nobody really knows what to do. So this one guy, he orders basically a sandwich, and they're like, well, you know, would you like one of these sides or something with it? And he settles on the macaroni and cheese. And he says, well, I'll just take the mac and cheese. That's fine. And she says, well, the macaroni and cheese, it comes with breadcrumbs on it. Is that okay? He's like, yeah, it's even better. She says, oh, and there's also bacon on top. And he's like, keep talking. You just keep making this mac and cheese better.
Was it good?
I don't know. I didn't ask him for any of his macaroni and cheese. But the rotisserie chicken that I had was pretty good.
Rotisserie chicken? You could pick that up at Sam's Club.
Well, when she was describing his sandwich, which was basically a chicken sandwich made with the rotisserie chicken meat.
Yes.
She said, as she was describing it, she says, basically, you could make this sandwich at home. You just need a rotisserie chicken and some sliced avocado and these other things.
Terrible, it's terrible salesmanship.
As she walked away, we're like, wow, if I owned a restaurant, I would not want her talking to my customers.
You know, you could do this salad at home that you're paying $18 for. Totally.
Yeah.
It costs you about $2.50.
And then we were joking about how he got the chicken cheaper because he ordered it on a sandwich, and I wanted the half a chicken rotisserie. And so mine was more expensive because they didn't have to do anything else to it.
That's right.
It doesn't make any sense at all. There's no sense at all. But it was good. We enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's like if I fly through Indianapolis to connect to somewhere on Delta, it'll be like a $400 ticket. If I fly direct to Indianapolis, it's $1,100.
Yep. So you might as well just buy a ticket to Phoenix.
That's right.
Don't get on the second leg of the flight.
Do not check your luggage. So, Matt, I wanted to remind people about our survey. So we have our Rise and Shout podcast listener survey that's out. We have so far gotten 46 responses.
46? Awesome. That's shame Yearbrook.
Oh, my gosh. That's shame. Maybe we don't want any more responses.
I feel like we'll ruin it.
No, we won't. So you can do that. Go to the show notes. There'll be a link. If you don't know what the show notes are, those are the words in your podcasting app.
Lots of words.
Or on the website. You can go to surveymonkey.com/r/riseandshout if you're too lazy to go to the show notes and you're good at memorization. So there you have it, Matt. 46 people. There's a couple of tidbits here that I'd like to share that I thought people might find interesting. For example, did you know that we, of our base of listeners, 13% of the respondents were 75 years or older.
I did not know that.
And I'm pretty sure that our brother Don is included in that list.
Sounds about right.
I think checking, you can look at individual responses. I think there may have been one or two of that 75 or older crowd that's not actually 75 or older. Part of the problem with market research. But the one thing I thought was really cool was 56% of our respondents, 26 of them to be exact, has started listening in the last 2 years.
Welcome aboard.
So, that's great. Welcome. Sometimes I wonder, with these inside jokes and stuff, if we should have, a glossary or something.
Did you just pronounce it glossary? Like galoshes?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that not spelled G-A-L-O-S-S-A-R-Y?
No. Glossary.
Glossary?
Is it, what do you say?
I don't know, but your pronunciation glossary? Is pretty glossary.
Oh, shut up.
That's a pretty glossal mispronunciation.
All right. Very, very funny. Very punny, as they say. One of the other
things... I'm at a galoss for words.
Oh, my gosh. I'm about to...
Maybe it's time for you to just galoss right over this joke.
One of the things that came out very clear also was a high percentage of you that listen do not know how to submit a TweetBag question. So, we're going to talk about how to submit a TweetBag question. Are you ready? You can do it three ways, Matt. Three ways, okay? The first one is you can go to Twitter. And at BYU_RiseShout is the address. You can submit on Facebook, facebook.com/RiseAndShout. Or you can submit an email. And I'll put this in the show notes as well, but it's pretty easy to remember. RiseAndShout, spelled out. pod@gmail.com.
RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com.
That's right. RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. You can email us there. Give us feedback to the show, not just tweet back questions. The other part was a lot of you would recommend the show but never have. So do it. Recommend us to your friends, to your coworkers, to your spouses. And by the way, it was mentioned in comments that they really miss your wife's questions.
Really? That came up?
That did come up. At least once.
All right, well, I'll mention that. Are you sure that wasn't her response?
I don't know. We also had somebody said that the guest we need to have on more is our brother Don.
Well, there's Don's response. We know he took the survey, apparently.
We know he's on the survey. So that's the survey. Go check that out. But Matt, we've got a jam-packed show, so it's time to jump to Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
So CougarFan.com, Cougars in the News. Go get all your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Matt, after we talked about the women's soccer team last week and their disappointment and a loss, now they go back and totally redeem themselves.
Totally redeem yourself!
It was a 3-2 thrilling victory over defending national championship Penn State. Ashley Hatch was named the WCC Player of the Week. She should have been the World Player of the Week. She had a hat trick against the freaking defending national champions, ranked number 2 in the land.
She had a better week than Hope Solo, that's for sure.
Ooh, hey now. Or Ryan Lochte. So I don't know why I threw him under the bus too. I don't know.
Yeah, that was totally unnecessary. Yeah. Actually, that's not true. He needs to stay under that bus for a little while longer.
Yeah, yes, he certainly does. So hats off to them. They play Ohio State. No, that's volleyball that plays Ohio State this week. Getting my women's sports mess up. But congratulations to them. What a bounce back victory for the Cougars coming back a week after a disappointing start to the season, and now they get a chance as we said last week, they could make some noise this year in the WCC and nationally. So I think they just tell everybody nationally that we're here to play. And obviously Ashley Hatch she's just awesome.
Yeah, and the soccer team doesn't play Ohio State for a couple weeks, but they've got Tennessee coming to town, and then the ever wonderful Utah game in Salt Lake.
But they do play Ohio State, right?
They do.
Yeah, a couple weeks. Thought so. Like a couple weeks.
You just jumped the gun a little bit. You were just excited.
I was excited. I love playing Ohio State, and notice I'm not saying the. That is on purpose.
I love it when people, especially recruits, will do this with whatever university they're tweeting about their offer from, and they'll say stuff like, "You know, I received my offer from the university." Well, I'm trying to think of a good example. The Long Beach State, or
the
Long Beach State.
Yeah,
it's like, no, there's really only one school that really does that,
and it's
like right. Or they'll flip, like they'll say. I got an offer from the University of Auburn.
Right.
No, that's actually not how you say that.
Yeah, it's Auburn University. So Matt, also in the news, number 10, newly ranked number 10 women's volleyball, hits the road this weekend to take on Ohio State, Wyoming, and Long Island something, right? And of course, Wyoming, we just hope they beat them, right?
Come on, that's Wyoming.
Long Island University Brooklyn. Is that what it is? LIU?
LIU Brooklyn. For? Yeah, I don't know what to do with that.
But Ohio State is, of course, the big opponent this weekend. Ohio State's ranked number 11. BYU's ranked number 10. I think it'll be a good showing to see where they're at as far as their potential for a long national run this year as well.
Yep.
Now, the Cowgirls were 23-7 last year. LIU Brooklyn was just 14-14, so I don't think they'll be much of a threat. But Wyoming's decent, and Ohio State's quite good. So should be a good test this weekend for the Cougars in the Sports Imports DC Cole Classic. That's a long... That's
a lot of words.
That's a lot of words, but here they go. So, Matt, that's Cougars in the news this week. We're going to be... It's all football all the time from here to the end. And I'm not apologizing for that.
There's no need.
Matt, we'll talk about this later. A couple of remaining storylines out of fall camp before we preview the Arizona game. By the way, we're going to preview an actual freaking football game today.
Oh, man.
We are 4 days, 4 days exactly from now.
How am I expected to even show up for work the next few days?
I don't
know. I mean, how am I supposed to manage that?
So I am working from home on Thursday. We have a few things going on around the house that I need to be here for. So
I schedule a meeting in a different part of town.
Yes.
In the morning.
Yes.
And then we'll work from home in the afternoon.
Yeah, see? And then we'll get to this later, Matt. I may be watching, while I'm working from home, some classic BYU football.
There you go.
So anyway, a few fall camp storylines. Jamal Williams is ready to break the record. That's not really a story, I guess, but he's ready. So says... the Salt Lake Tribune. Matt, we'll get to this later. He's going to break the record.
Whoa. Let's not get ahead of ourselves now, all right?
Break the record, okay?
That's a different agenda item.
We already talked about this last week. You're out of order.
You're
out of order, sir.
This whole system's out of order.
Where's your Diet Mountain Dew?
I believe I was told that I had worn that shtick out.
Dude, we've been wearing shticks way farther out than that for almost 6 years.
Well,
so I don't know why you're listening now.
Then you just wait and see, my friend.
All right. So, Matt, another one. And then this came out before the depth chart, which we'll get to here in a minute, is Harvey Lange. There had been, you know, back and forth. Well, is he going to be a linebacker? Is he going to be a defensive lineman? He is going to be a defensive lineman. A nice piece in the Herald about that, I believe, was yesterday's Herald. We're recording on Tuesday night. So, obviously, senior Harvey Lange will be at defensive end. Matt, did that news, even before we got the – was that surprising? Not based on – obviously, we've heard that this is likely in the past few weeks. But when we came into fall camp, we all thought he was going to be a linebacker. Is this surprising news for you?
It's not surprising, and it's very exciting.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big fan of the way he plays. I'm a big fan of his attitude, and I think it's going to be interesting to see what they decide to do with him.
Yeah, I'm 100%.
He's going to mess some people up.
He can do it, and obviously the 4-3 and the 3-4 are different, and there are folks that can play both that outside linebacker in the 3-4 and defensive end in a 4-3. Not everybody can do that. But I think they believe that he's one of those guys that, that can do it, which is fantastic, and I think he'll do a great job. Last week, Brandon Gurney on the show, Matt, he expressed some concern about the defensive line. I'm hearing a lot of people on the opposite side. Where do you stand on the defensive line? We've talked about it, but I'm going to put you on the spot again.
You know, I'm not, I don't share the same concern about the defensive line. I think there are some places to be concerned, but that's, I think there's actually some reason to be, I don't want to say too comfortable, but I think there's reason to be a little comfortable with what's going on the defensive line.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not even, I mean, if I were to rank this, even like defensive position units, I don't even know that that's the first place I would go.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there, Matt.
Yep.
So let's get into previewing an actual football game.
Oh, there's a real football game. We're going to talk about it right now.
Now, first four captains were named, Matt. The four captains, of course, you've probably already heard. Harvey Lange, Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams, and Kai Nakua are the four guys. Lange, of course, had the quote of the day. If you have a C on your jersey, you're 23 or older at BYU, maybe 25. I guess I'm old now.
That's funny.
From Harvey Lange. Matt, no real surprise on the captains, right?
No, not at all.
On the offensive side, I think you knew it was going to be those two gentlemen. I think Lange was sure. Whether Nakua got, you know, makes perfect sense to me.
I wish there had been a prop bet on this. I could have done well.
You could have done well on this one. I don't know if you would have gotten good odds. I think the house might have shut down.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
So we're going to start, Matt, with our first tweet bag question.
Tweet bag.
Todd and D on Twitter. That's at Todd and D. Todd asks, thoughts on the depth chart? Lots of interesting stories. Matt, let's go to that depth chart.
To the depth chart we go.
So, Matt, any surprises to you on the depth chart? We'll start there.
That they've decided to list a tight end. Hey-o.
Yes.
There's not.
No.
Surprises. And I can go back again, just kind of, no, there's no surprises here.
So let's, I'm going to walk through a couple of storylines on the depth chart, get your thoughts, all right? We'll start on the defensive side of the ball. One cornerback is, of course, Michael Davis, which was the least, on the defensive side, Lange was going to play somewhere, and of course, Michael Davis was going to be covering wide receivers, right? And I guess Kai Nakua being the third just locked, that's, we know these guys are going to be doing that. Opposite him will be true freshman Troy Warner.
Yep.
Matt, true freshmen don't start at cornerback for BYU. This is different.
Yeah, well, and this guy, he's supposed to be pretty special.
Yes. And according to all reports, he has played extremely well in camp, highly athletic. All the starting defensive backs, Matt, I believe are over 6 foot.
That's awesome.
This is a big, you know, Hanneman's not a small dude. Nakua might be under 6 foot. Do you think he's under 6 foot? I'll have to go check.
Looks like he is.
But Warner and Davis are tall. I mean, this is good. And then you got Akili Davis, who's not a small guy either. There's a lot of safeties that may play, Tanaka and others. But, I mean, those four guys on your base package, I think are what you're going to see on a lot of plays. I mean, there'll be rotations, but, you know, Michael Davis, I don't anticipate he'll leave the field very often.
Nope.
Now, against Arizona with their, you know, go fast, go hard type of offense, maybe a little bit more than other weeks, but I don't anticipate that. Matt, on special teams, Rhett Allman is the place kicker. How do you feel about it?
I don't feel good about it.
Neither do
I.
I
don't feel good about any of that until I see somebody actually put one through, and multiple times. I guess not just one's going to do it. And yeah. I'm not talking extra points here.
No. I'm talking some field goals as well. Don't feel great there. Matt, punt returners is listed as one of the Juergens or Micah Hanneman. I think that was kind of a given that the Juergens brothers would be at the top of that list.
Yeah, and that's exciting.
And then four folks are listed as kick returners in the OR category. Trey Dye, Jonah Trinneman, Matt Hadley, and Oliva Hifo. I'm kind of excited to see Trey Dye and Jonah
Trinneman. I really want to see. I want to see what Dye does.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just exciting.
That's exciting. And Trinneman, he's supposed to have track speed, right? You give him a seam. Those two back there, if you could have two, which BYU has not had in quite some time, if you had two legitimate touchdown threats on your kickoff return, it changes the way people cover you on kickoffs, right? They can't just kick to one guy, and you can't like try to overcompensate and have the guy in the middle. You know what I mean? Like, there's things you can do on special teams with two threats if they prove to both be threats.
Oh, yeah, it opens up some great opportunities.
So then we'll go to the other side. Matt, I was shocked that Taysom Hill was named the starter on this depth chart. Absolutely shocked.
Blown away.
So, Matt, good news. Nick Kurtz was listed as the starting wide receiver. You obviously are going to see a lot of Kurtz, Moroni, Jonah Trinneman, Colby Pearson, and Juergens. You're going to see all of them are going to play, right? There's going to be a lot of guys coming out. Matt, the offensive line, nothing's a surprise based on what we're hearing at camp. On the scale of 0 to 10, how nervous are you that protecting the blind side of Taysom Hill are two linemen that last year were playing for Southern Utah University?
They're big boys. I mean, these are not small men, right?
No, they're not.
But they're green.
Green at this level, but experienced college players, yes.
I'm going to go ahead and get into like the 7. On a scale of 1 to 10.
On your worried? I'm higher than that. I'm an 8. Now, it's not an 8. I threw an SU. It's not really about where they played before. It's just we thought we were going into the year with a extremely experienced offensive line. Right. Phil Steele had us as one of the most experienced offensive lines coming out of spring practice, right? And I felt really good about the offensive line, okay? Now you look at it and you go, we're a middle-of-the-pack team as far as experience goes. We've got two guys on the left side who are big and people have been praising in camp, but how will they do against speedy pass rushers in the next month of, you know, this first month of the season against some pretty good athletes? Now, to be fair, we're not playing any world-beating defenses here. I mean, Arizona's defense, we'll get into this in a second, was terrible last year. Right, new defensive coordinator, but it's still the same guys. So they may not get tested necessarily this week, but I'm pretty nervous overall.
Yeah.
So depth chart. Oh, by the way, Todd also, like us, gets excited. He said he watched the Miracle Bowl and Miami. He still asserts, and he has since the beginning, since he came up with the zero to Detmer thing, Detmer belongs at the top of the scale. He called him Houdini.
Houdini.
I still think it's Jim McMahon, and I stand by it. But we'll call it the zero to Detmer scale out of respect for you, for Todd, and for Mr. Ty Detmer.
I think we call it the zero to Detmer scale, and then Jim McMahon is off the charts.
Yeah, I don't like that kind of stuff. It's like giving 110%. It's just kind of
I do that right? In everything I do, 110%. Yeah, no, that's all I give, nothing less.
That's dumb. All right, so Matt, let's talk a little bit about – did you just say I'm dumb?
No, I started to, but then I stopped.
Wow, man,
you were moving on.
I was moving
on. I decided to let it slide. But now since you've stopped, I'm going to go ahead and say it. You're dumb.
So Matt, last week you absolutely trashed the University of Arizona.
No,
yes,
I would
you
say
did.
I
Stop.
Absolutely trashed.
Stop.
I
was, you said they are not real football fans. That is a quote.
It's also a fact.
Yes, that it's a basketball school, which is
fact.
Also a fact. And then you said their fans don't understand the game.
Okay, fact.
And then I threw in...
I'm not going after anybody here. I'm just stating things that are true.
The fact that they have won, like, they've won one Pac-12/10 title ever. I just didn't, you know, I knew they weren't, like, didn't have this awesome tradition. Obviously, the Pac-10 historically has been dominated by some other programs. But all of a sudden, you look at it and go, within a few years, Utah's going to have a better Pac-12 resume than Arizona. Right?
I hope.
Well, Utah hopes. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's pretty amazing. So anyway, last year,
I don't know why I said that. I don't hope. I could care less.
I could care less too. But I think based on the recruiting and Whittingham and his coaching staff, I think over the next 5 years, I would bet on Utah having a better run than Arizona, right?
That's because I can't believe you'd bet on Utah.
Well, I don't bet. I'm a Mormon. So I wouldn't do that. We're over and under is coming later. So this year, a couple things as we talk about Arizona, some things to get to know about Arizona. Okay.
Here we go.
One of the things is, let's start off with this. Their defense was absolutely atrocious last year.
And you're being kind.
They were rated out of the top 100, according to the Football Outsiders and several of their rankings. The other part is, let's look at the scores they gave up at the end of the year, Matt. Okay? They gave up 37 to New Mexico in the bowl game, 52 to Arizona State, 30 to Utah, 38 to USC, 49 to Washington, 45 to Washington State, 31 to Colorado. Now, they absolutely dismantled Oregon State, 44-7. If you take out that game and Northern Arizona, they gave up at least 20 points, and you take out another couple games, and they gave up, they averaged against decent opponents almost 35 points a game given up. And you can look at, like, yards per, you know, part of this is a fact of they play more plays because of the tempo, right? But if you do yards per play, it doesn't look much better. Now, they were 7-6 last year. They were not a great team. And the offense, which everyone will talk about how great it is, the offense was okay. They were an okay offense, not a big one. Matt, does this, all of what I said, does this make you feel better or worse about them?
It depends what my perspective is. As a BYU fan, I feel a lot better about it. You know, even factoring in all, you know, some of those games where they got really destroyed, and all, I mean, 35 points per game? I mean, they're giving up 35 points per game up against that schedule.
Well, yeah, look at some of those teams. We're not talking powerhouses here, right? Against USC, you give up 38 points. That happens. Utah was pretty decent. You gave up 30. Arizona State, you gave up 52 points.
They lost 10 fumbles.
Arizona State was not a good.
We'll stick to defense for a minute, but
yeah, but this is our point. Is they had a lot of issues last year, and they were overall 77th in the S&P rankings for Football Outsiders. So this was not a good team last year. A decent offense paired with an atrocious defense adds not a very good. So Bill Connolly, friend of the podcast, said against the top 50 teams, they were 1-5 and gave up almost 7 yards of play on defense and got 5 yards of play on offense.
And this is against top 50 teams, you said?
Top 50 teams against outside of the top 50. So that one win is Utah. Outside of the top 50, they were 6-1. And did really well. Now this, you know what this screams? If I am being a Bronco hater, Bronco Mendenhall, right? Few years of Bronco, this was his MO, right? Can't win, has really struggles against the top 50, destroys everybody else, right? And that's who Arizona was last year. You know, and you look at that, they are, to be fair, I think the offense will be at least above average this year. The defense, Matt, that's the big question mark. They hired Marcel Yates from Boise State to come and run the defense. He's going to run a 3-3-5. So Boise was ranked as his 2 years as defensive coordinator, 14th and 23rd in defense the past 2 years. We've played Boise State. They play hard. They play well. They're solid. I assume the defense is going to get better. But, Matt, how much of a jump can you expect from, like, 108th? They're not going to be like a top 50 defense, are they?
No, and if you look, it's a lot of return guys, and they're also undersized.
Yeah,
at the line of scrimmage. You know, you look at these guys. You got a couple of guys who start at the line of scrimmage on defense who come in at 247 pounds.
Yeah,
and that I think that's going to prove to be problematic against some of even the young, a couple of these young guys on the BYU offensive line. But these, when you're giving up 50 pounds to an offensive lineman, I mean, you got to be really quick or have some other type of skill to make up for that. And I don't think you develop that in some of these players in a single offseason.
Well, I mean, and do you think a 240-pound guy is going to bring down Taysom Hill?
Nope.
I mean, you better have him wrapped up. I mean, if they try to just pull on him, he's not, a 280-pound guy might be able to pull him down, right? I think this is a bad matchup. Taysom Hill is a terrible matchup for their defense because I don't think they have the playmakers. I don't think they've got a guy that can spy him effectively. So this is all good news for BYU, right? On the flip side, they run an offense that if we can't stop their running game, we could give up 30 points, right? Because if they start being able to run, then all of a sudden they can throw over the top of you. And that's what Rich Rod does, right? I mean, his offense is a running offense very often, right? And they run the ball a lot and then try to set up the pass off the run. I think it could go bad that way, but I'm tipping my hand a little bit here, but Matt, I don't think this defense is going to be very good.
No, I'm not very nervous about the defense. I agree with you that the matchup is bad on several levels.
Yeah. So let's switch to the other side of the ball. They have not named a starting quarterback.
Mm.
Anu Solomon and Brandon Dawkins both have experience. Solomon a little bit more. Matt, do we care?
Well, I only care for this reason, right? When you got a guy in Solomon who completed 62% of his passes last year for 2,600 yards, okay, 20 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and he's competing in camp against a guy who was a couple deep in the depth chart last year, completed 20 passes, threw a couple of touchdowns, a couple of interceptions. And you're the returning starter with a 62% completion rate, and you can't beat this guy out, put it to bed?
Yeah.
That would make me nervous if I were an Arizona fan. But at the same time, I think, reading this stuff from the local guys and people who follow Arizona, I think everybody agrees that Solomon's going to get the start. I think everybody will be very surprised if he's not the person who takes the first snap under center. But the fact that he hasn't been able to lock it up, yikes.
Well, and you hear from, again, the local reporters covering Arizona a lot about Dawkins' athleticism and that he can do everything that Solomon can do physically but better, right? But, of course, Solomon has the experience in the offense and is an relatively accurate passer, 62%, as you pointed out. So this could be to BYU's favor only in that Rich Rodriguez loves those super athletic quarterbacks, right? And I think he may overvalue what Dawkins is bringing compared to Solomon. I'd feel much worse if they just had named Solomon. I actually like this for BYU.
For BYU, I think it's great.
I think they'd be better off. Now, if Dawkins comes out and he's the next, Pat White running that offense, then I'm wrong, right? And he may be. Like you said, we don't have enough of Brandon Dawkins to know what he really is. But again, we'll see on Saturday night for sure. So, Matt, I was thinking about this. So we've talked a lot about Arizona. We're going to talk about BYU here in a second. Who needs this more? Like, if you're looking at Arizona, they have, similar to us, a pretty brutal schedule after they play us. Now, there are a lot of reasons why people do not play games like this in the first week of the season, right? So they go to Grambling in Hawaii the next 2 weeks. Cool, right? Not go to. Host them. Okay, they don't have to leave Arizona. But after that, Washington, at UCLA, at Utah, USC, and then an off week and then Stanford. They could be out of the Pac-12 race before we get to Halloween. I think they will be out of the Pac-12 race before we get to Halloween.
Shoot. I mean, if they drop, they could be out of the Pac-12 race by the end of the Utah game.
They could. They could, depending on how good Washington is this year. And I think Washington will be decent. And then, of course, at UCLA, at Utah, And I think those are likely three games that they are not going to be favored in.
And I wouldn't even give them, and Stanford, I just didn't mark it as a loss now.
Yeah, I think so. USC too, for that matter. Now, the back half of their schedule gets a lot better with Washington State, Colorado, Oregon State, and Arizona State. Matt, it's almost impossible to know going into a season how good a team is going to be, right? You can prognosticate, but there's a new defensive coordinator. What if Dawkins comes in, replaces Solomon, and he is this fantastic quarterback and takes their offense from a top 40 or top 50 offense to a top 20, right? Now all of a sudden they're a top 30 team, and maybe they win, three of those four games to start the Pac-12 season. But based on history, this is not going to be a great team. And you look out at the end of the year, if BYU beats Arizona, this is not going to be a win where you go back and go, sweet, what a great victory. So I think Arizona has a lot to lose here, but I think BYU has more to lose. Because with the rest of that schedule, if you drop here at Arizona, like, you don't have Grambling State and Hawaii to get back on track. You have Utah and UCLA the next 2 weeks. I mean, BYU and Kalani Sitake, I think, need this more than the Arizona Wildcats.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole, like, need this, want more, want this more, I mean, it's pretty
difficult. No, not want it more. No. Not want it more. Everybody wants it. I'm just saying, like, if Arizona's 0-1 against BYU, it's what's expected, right? They're not favored, right? BYU, if they don't win this, they could start the year 0-4.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. In that sense, yeah, BYU, I could see the argument.
You
BYU
hate this question.
This more.
It's okay. No, I don't hate it. Say you hate it.
I don't hate it.
You can say this question is terrible, Adam.
It's not terrible.
I just
think it's difficult to measure. Everybody needs all these wins. I mean, it's college football, right? Every game is tremendously important. I mean, if you're BYU, you need to win them all, right?
Yeah.
And if you're Arizona, this isn't as big of a deal. And I hate to bring this into it, but you could lose this game and still compete for a division championship or get into the mix for a conference championship.
That's true.
Right, and so this doesn't carry the same type of weight. But like you're talking about, if you're BYU and you can't, and you have trouble getting past Arizona in week one, then shoot, the month of September is going to be pretty rough for you, and you're going to come out of that month of September, and you could be in pretty rough shape for your season.
So Matt, I am shocked. I am shocked. I just looked up the line. I have not looked up the line this week. I just assume we'd be favored.
Yeah, I don't think that's the
Arizona's
case.
Arizona's favored.
I heard you say that a second ago. Yep.
What? That's crazy.
I've seen a couple things on the internet today where people are picking Arizona to win this game, and I don't know that I really understand what they're basing that on. But at the same time, I mean, if you were a national writer or if you're an odds maker in Las Vegas, I mean, what are you looking at? What do you see at BYU that makes you, you know, as somebody who's not following it like we are,
okay,
or like
I'll
BYU
give you
fan is, what do you see?
I'll give you four words: Taysom Hill, Tanner Mangum. You've got two fantastic QBs, one of whom will end up taking most of the snaps. In this case, it should be Taysom, right? Against one of the worst defenses in college football last year. Right now, this was going into fall camp. Football Outsiders gave Arizona a 37% chance of beating BYU.
Oh yeah, I think that lines up pretty close with what the ESPN.
Yeah, yeah. This is that line is insane to me. It's crazy based on what we know about these teams. I know what you're saying, right? The odds makers are making it based on, but Taysom Hill, like, people know Taysom Hill. I mean, if you're an odds maker, you know this guy could run for 200 and throw for 200 against this defense. You know, and I don't know. It's interesting to me. I find that line a little absurd. So, Matt, let's go back to the BYU side. What do you need to see this week against the Wildcats? Let's start with the offense. What do you need to see that's going to make you feel – we'll get to what we think the result's going to be here in a minute. But what do you need to feel warm and fuzzy about this offense going in to UCLA and Utah.
I need to see more of the Taysom Hill that we saw early on in the Nebraska game last year. I want to see a nice, solid completion percentage. And I don't want to see an offense that looks like they understand what the game plan is with the new system.
Yes.
So offensively, those are really the things I'm looking for. But the most important one is I want to see an accurate Taysom Hill.
I want to see an offensive line that against a defense that doesn't have incredible speed and pass rushing ability to be able to keep Taysom in the pocket if he wants to be there. In addition to what you said. But I want to see that. I want to see them be able to protect him. We have great position players this year. BYU is loaded with two good quarterbacks, good running backs. I think an above average wide receiver core. Have no idea how the tight end stuff is going to work out. But the offense should be able to move the ball. The question is, can you keep the quarterbacks upright, right? And give them a chance to do their thing. That's a big deal. On the defensive side, Matt, what are you? Obviously, this is a new scheme. Some old guys coming back, but a lot of people that haven't played a ton. What do you need to see to feel warm and fuzzy about the defense?
You know, I've seen some things already that make me feel good about the defensive backfield and even running backs to a certain extent. While I understand, you know, we've got some guys new to their positions and things. You know, you got Bernard and stuff. But really what I want to see is out of the defensive line, I want to see an ability to rush the quarterback and get some real pressure on a quarterback and pick up a few sacks. And I think that having Longy down there and obviously Tuiloma, but the addition of Longy and wondering the types of stuff that that they're going to do with him, an ability to get a real solid pass rush on, I think will make a world of difference for the other position units and is really, in some respects, will be a really good measuring stick for how well we think this season's going to go for the defense.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I think I also think for the defense, you know, these linebackers, Bernard, Powell, and Warner, are going to have to step up and make some plays, right? You know, Tuiloma, I really hope he's healthy and can play. But you look at that, I mean, these guys are all athletic. They're big. I need to see them make plays against this Arizona offense to make me feel like, okay, we have a chance against some of these other offenses later in the year. You know, yep. Against UCLA in a couple weeks, we've got a chance of actually slowing them down so that we can score enough to beat them. And like you said, if you see some of those things, I'm optimistic about the defense. I think the defense could be a top 40 type of unit, maybe even better. You know, with this scheme and with, you know, how good is Warner on the how good is Warner as the cornerback, right? If he can lock down and they can play man with him and Davis on the outside and let the front seven wreak havoc, I mean, wow. I mean, there's potential there, right? You got Lange, Warner, Bernard, Tuiloma wreaking havoc in the middle. I love it.
Throwing a little handsome Tenielu in there.
That's right. So, Matt, it is prediction time. I'm going to start with a face bag question. That's right.
Face bag.
Off of Facebook, that's Andre Hutchins, who usually tweet bags, and now he's face bagging.
Look at him.
Like he's multi-talented.
Mixing it up.
Yeah. So he asks, why do I feel overwhelmingly confident in BYU winning this weekend against Arizona when Utah has lost Arizona 4 years in a row? I feel like this is one of those, what do you call them, Matt?
A setup?
Yeah. But, you know, he's basically, isn't he just trashing Utah?
See, I don't know. Is Hutchins here legitimately concerned, or is he really just taking a shot at the University of Utah? I'm not sure.
I think he's taking a shot because he says, I feel overwhelmingly confident. So I think he's taking a shot. Matt, I feel overwhelmingly confident.
I feel pretty good about this game. I think there's a lot, you know, I think Arizona had some issues last year that I think are going to carry over into this season. You know, offensive line is still a little bit of a question there too. We haven't gotten to that at all, but the other thing is listen, in all honesty though, we've all been drinking the blue Kool-Aid for a few months. You know, we're enjoying Kalani Sitake. The man can do no wrong right now. And so, I mean, there are some non-football reasons here that I believe that all of us feel really good about BYU going into this game.
Yes. Yes. Agreed. It may be irrational exuberance, but you know me. I'm a geek, numbers geek. The numbers favor BYU going in. Now, the numbers going into a season can be wrong, and obviously our offensive line is different than what people thought. And when you have new coaching staffs, it can go north or south very fast, right?
Yep.
And both Arizona and especially BYU qualify for the new coaching staff unknown. That being said, Matt, 1.5-point favorites, Arizona. I assume you are not taking Arizona in that.
I would not take Arizona.
Would you take the over under of 60? 60 is the over under.
I'm taking the under.
I am taking a push.
Really?
I am predicting exactly 60 points.
I'm intrigued.
Well, you should be. So, Matt, your prediction, sir.
So, you know, based on the things we've talked about here tonight, I think that Arizona's going to have a hard time getting their offense off the ground. I know several things that I've read. There are a lot of people that are predicting lots of points and a lot of offense in this game. I just don't necessarily think it's going to land that way. I feel really good about our defense coming in here. Offensively, I think we'll be able to move the football. I think we'll score some points. I think we'll see Taysom do a little bit of his thing. Maybe have an opportunity to mix things up a little bit and try some of the new stuff. At the end of the day, I think BYU comes out on top in this game. Final score, 24-13.
Wow. Okay.
It's a little bit different than what a lot of people are throwing out.
Our results are similar. Matt, I think BYU's offense will absolutely steamroll this defense. I think over the course of the year, I believe Arizona's defense will get better. I think it's very hard to just come in, get the new defense going when you were just not very good last year, right?
Right.
I think BYU's offense comes in and rolls over. I do think there's going to be some hiccups on the defense that is probably going to make fans more concerned than they should be. You've got an experienced quarterback, a system that's been in place. I just think BYU is going to make a couple of big mistakes on defense, blown coverages, you know, getting out of their lanes on some rushing plays, just because it's a new system. While you do have a lot of experience, you also have some young guys. So my prediction is BYU will win by about the same margin. It's just going to be a higher scoring game, 37-23.
Well, there you have it.
But I think BYU absolutely rolls offensively. I think it's a massive day for Taysom Hill to start the year, and he will get through with the game, and all BYU fans are going to start the Taysom for Heisman campaign.
Oh, it's going to be great.
If they haven't already. So, Matt, we do this every year. We didn't do this last week. We ran out of time, but we have a little time now. We're going to do a season over-under. Are you ready? And the sheet on your agenda is not complete.
Fantastic. So, all right. So what you're telling me is you're going to throw some stuff out here for which I have had zero time to think about or prepare.
Correctamundo.
Love it. Love it. That is how we roll at the Rise and Shout podcast.
That is how we roll on the Rise and Shout podcast.
This is how we do.
Now, some of them are there, Matt, so you have some of them. But you're better. You're good off the cuff, man. You don't need prep.
Sometimes I'm better off the cuff.
Prep is for wimps.
That's right. Prep is for preppy wimps.
That's right. All right. So, Matt, over under 3,100 passing yards for Taysom Hill.
I'm going to go ahead. See, and you're like, but Matt, I thought you had time to think about this.
Yeah, time on this one. This is.
I'm taking the over.
You are taking the over.
Yep.
So am I. We're both taking the over. Last year, we had Taysom at 3,200 yards. We both took the over. Tanner eclipsed that, and we gave ourselves a win.
I think it's only right.
Because that's what we do. Matt, Taysom Hill, 1,100 yards rushing, over, under.
Taking the over.
I am taking the under, but just barely. I just don't think he'll run as much.
You're big chicken.
Taysom Hill, 32 touchdowns. Total touchdowns.
Hmm. Total touchdowns? Oh, wait a minute. I was thinking touchdown passes, but this is total touchdowns?
Yeah, total touchdowns.
And what was the number again? Sorry, 32. I clicked away. I'm taking the over.
I'm also taking the over. Jamal Williams, 1,260 yards rushing. Matt, that would eclipse his career high.
Over.
I am also taking the over. Look at us. We're very optimistic. Anyone on the Cougars having more than 6.5 sacks?
Under.
I'm also taking the under. Any Cougar having more than 85 tackles?
Any Cougar having more than 85 tackles?
Yes, last year Wadsworth led the team with 79.
Now, so clearly listeners now understand that I'm stalling because this is not the one of the ones that was on the sheet.
No, it was not on the sheet.
And I am still stalling.
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 Do I
stalling.
Need to play some music?
I'm not stalling. Who's stalling? Wow, it's taken me a lot longer to get down to that part of the stat sheet than I wanted to. I'm going to go ahead. I want to just go ahead and throw it out, and I'm going to say, what was the number again? I switched back. 85. I'm going to take the under.
I'm going to take the over. Hello, Francis Bernard.
You think Bernard racks up all those tackles, huh?
That is correct. I think with all of the talent in the middle there, they're going to have to leave somebody, and I think it's Bernard. And I think he's going to get a lot of tackles, and I think he's going to do a heck of a job with it. But Matt doesn't believe in Francis Bernard.
I think I'd rather have Bernard rack up those tackles there than have Wadsworth do it.
Well, yeah, that was not a great thing.
No, that is no offense to Wadsworth, but that's not where you want all those tackles to be made.
No. Matt, BYU offense, 6.1 yards per play. Matt, last year the Cougars had 6 yards per play, which is, since the Bronco Mendenhall era started, only four teams have eclipsed 6 yards per play. The Taysom Hill-led Cougars in 2013 were not one of those teams.
I'm taking the over.
I am taking the under. I think we'll be just under that one. Matt, on the defensive side of the ball, we're going to say 4.6 yards per play. If we look historically since the beginning of the Bronco Mendenhall era, only one team has been better than 4.6 yards per play. Two teams. 2007 and 2012. Which, by the way, I still argue might be the best defense BYU has ever had.
Maybe.
They were good.
They were good.
You remember that Boise State game?
That was pretty awesome.
That goal line stand is one of the coolest things.
That's one of the greatest plays ever. It's one of the greatest plays ever.
That it was in a loss.
Yeah.
But not the defense's fault, by the way. Not the defense's fault.
Hey, whoa, we don't need to point fingers, all right?
No, I'm going to point fingers. The offense was terrible.
Yeah, you're probably right. It's probably fair. So I don't think this defense beats that.
Okay,
so I think I'm taking the over here.
You're taking the over. Yes, I am also taking the over. Matt, what do you think the number is? 4.9? I mean, 5? Did I set that one just too high?
I think you just set it too high, but I think it's somewhere in the 5.1 range.
But they were 4.9 last year.
Oh, I know.
Oh, okay.
So I think you're low fives. I mean, look at the offenses that they're going to be up against this year. I mean, it's a little bit of a different slate of teams that do some different things than the teams they faced last year. And so to get down below 5, I think that's a tough order.
Well, and it's hard to know some of these 2 or 3 weeks into the season. I agree with you. There is a chance some of these offenses, Michigan State, for example, aren't as good as we think they might be, right? They've got players that left. Boise, we want to assume their offense is good, but they weren't great last year, right?
Yeah, they might just not be.
So I think it's more that high fours, like similar to last year, 4.9, but 4.6. I don't think we see an historically good defense out of BYU this year from a number perspective because of the schedule. I agree with you. But I wouldn't be surprised if they have remarkably good defensive games against UMass, for example, and Toledo. Which Toledo, again, is a quality team, but I think they could put up some numbers there. But, man, maybe not against UCLA. Maybe not against UCLA.
Yeah, that's tough.
So, Matt, pick one. We're going to end on this. All right? Best team BYU will play in 2016. At the end of the year, who's the team that we're going to say, wow, that was the best team BYU played?
I'm thinking it's going to be – I think it's going to be UCLA.
I think it's Michigan State. I think people are too down on Michigan State.
I think it's a close one there. I could have gone either way, but this isn't the first time I'm going to talk about UCLA in the next couple minutes, but I think they're going to be really good.
Yeah. Best QB that BYU will play in 2016.
Now we're ready to pay off on my tease here, right?
Yes.
It's Josh Rosen.
Yes. We could end up being surprised, right? There's a couple other guys here that could end up being very good. I think Rosen is the easy, safe pick and the right one. Game that worries you the most that BYU should win but might lose.
Toledo. That's, you know, you're coming out of that. It's this gauntlet stretch, and then you got Toledo before Michigan State. That is, you know, yeah. If there's a definition, if there's a poster boy for trap games, that's it.
Yeah, it's on a short week. Yes, at home, but 6 days after coming back from the East Coast, Toledo's there. If I had to pick a second game, it's the game at Cincinnati.
Oh, see, I was going to say if I had to pick a second game, I'd go with Boise State. Because you could be coming off of two really tough weeks, and then you're going to play Boise State, which is a team we all really think BYU should be able to beat. But it's on the road, on the Smurf turf, short week. That's tough.
Yeah. That's a good point, Matt. That may be an even better answer than mine. It's not, but it might be. BYU makes the Big 12. Pick one, Matt, the team you would most like to join. It doesn't even have to be somebody that is in serious consideration.
Well, I'm going to be really selfish here, and I'm going to go ahead and say it's the University of Houston. The University of Houston's in the Big 12. That increases the number of games that BYU will play in Texas that I can get to. Done.
Boo. Can I boo your answer?
What? I just want to go to games.
Matt, you know who I want if I had to pick just one team to come in?
Who?
San Diego State.
Oh, my gosh. So we can tell me you were kidding.
Beat the crap out of them every year. No, I'm totally kidding.
You were serious about the last part.
Yeah, I was serious about the last part. I would like to do that. No, I don't want San Diego State. If I had to pick one team to come in with, this is Boise. I know they're not going to come in. I'm not an idiot. Maybe.
Those two things aren't necessarily connected.
Yes,
go ahead.
Yes. But my point is, I think that makes the Big 12 that much stronger in football, and that would be good for the Big 12. You had two solid football programs with, Boise's history is more recent, BYU's longer, and I think that makes for a better – now, that's not going to happen. It's – by all reports, it's going to be BYU-Cincinnati – or Houston, right? So Matt, and we don't expect Justin Sweeney makes a little tweet bag appearance here, buddy.
Sweeney.
So he says, more likely to happen in October, BYU gets invited to the Big 12, or BYU suffers first loss. Hashtag BYU to Big 12.
I think it's more, you want me to go ahead and answer this? Or?
Yeah, that's what we do.
I think it's more likely that they get invited to the Big 12 only because I think of the first loss is highly – it's highly likely that that happens in September.
Oh, yeah. The Big 12 invite is way likely. Where are you setting BYU Big 12 invite? What's your percentage now? Percent chance they get one?
25%.
99%! It's done.
All right.
It's done. It's just a matter of does Texas win and get Houston – or does everybody else win and get
Cincinnati? Yeah, but the whole Texas-Houston thing is a conspiracy theory. Texas doesn't really want Houston, and they know that Houston will never get the number of votes that they need to get in. They just need to go on record voting for Houston so they can get what they want here in Texas. Nah. It's not going to be Houston.
Eh. What if the Iowa States and people go, wait a second, if you agree to extend the contract with the TV partners till 2025, we'll give you the Cougars, the Houston Cougars.
Yeah, I mean, if they make that concession, I think you have a shot at it. But you know, I don't know.
That's it'll be interesting.
This is so unpredictable with the Big 12. I'm not ready. I'm not sold on anything until BYU has, you know, painted the logo on the field and is playing games in the conference.
You're not settled on anything till we've all got Big 12 stickers on our cars.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All right. Percent chance Matt Mangum puts a Big 12 sticker on his car.
I'm going to go ahead and put this around zero.
Oh, we can't. Like, even if you wanted to, like,
after, don't do that. Don't be. Don't do.
Don't
this.
Do. Don't be that guy. So, Matt, I forgot a tweet bag, so we're going to answer it right now on our way out. Matt, CougFan82 at CougFan82 on Twitter says chances Taysom leaves the field yelling, "Are you not entertained?" after BYU crushes the Wildcats. Matt, percent chance Taysom says that.
I think it would be awesome, a la Max Hall halftime of the Oklahoma game. We will win this game.
Yes.
The odds are not in your favor, my friend. I'm going to go ahead and say 0%.
Yeah, I'm going to say 0% too. Taysom and Tanner just don't do that kind of stuff. If Max Hall was the quarterback, I would put it in the 75-80% range.
Yep.
That he may yell something like that.
Especially if you had managed to get the tweet in front of him.
Yes, yes. I would say you're pretty high. Matt, a couple of things. Don't forget about the Rise and Shout podcast survey. You can go to surveymonkey.com/r/Rise and Shout or just look at the notes to the show there in your browser or podcast player. Of course, we'll appreciate any feedback that you give, and we'd like to thank everybody that did participate already. Next week, we will be back to talk about this game and preview a little rivalry game that's coming up. Matt, also check out, I'm going to try this. I don't know how well it will work. During halftime on Saturday's game, I will be doing Facebook Live through the Rise and Shout podcast account to give my first half thoughts for like 2 minutes on Facebook Live. I'm going to try it.
Oh, this is going to be hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. So you get to see me sitting with my royal blue stuff. I'm going to give it a shot. People are doing this thing called Facebook Live.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's great. It's a great way for you to kind of get in touch with the next generation. I'm proud
of
you.
That's right. That's right. Getting in touch with the kids.
With the millennials.
And, of course, if you follow us on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout, Facebook is facebook.com/RiseAndShout. And as we mentioned before, you can email us, riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Well, thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. Matt, any parting words?
I'm just looking forward to some real football. Let's watch some real football, all right?
Actual football games.
That's
all
right.
All weekend long. And the most exciting, of course, for us is BYU.
Oh, the amount of football I'm going to watch this weekend it should probably be illegal.
Illegal? Should be mandatory.
Yes.
It should be mandatory. Matt, I am excited. Next week, we will talk about that. We will also do some national college football stuff. We ran out of time this week. We'll talk about, now that we have a week's worth of games to overreact to, we will overreact.
It's what we do best. Actually, it's what we do second best. Hyperbole is really what we do best.
Yes, yes. I thought it was zoology.
Zoology, actually, as a team, my zoology game is actually quite weak. Mm. It's your zoology game and your experience in breeding exotic wild animals is really what brings us up as a group, but I'm afraid I'm really dragging us down. I mean, I don't even know where a bearcat came from.
Well, I think we have our opening line for the podcast right there. Thank you for providing that.
Throw that in at the end.
Thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. Of course, tell your friends, tell your neighbors, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars. Baby seems so far. I need you here with me, not way over in a bucket seat.